Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our Great Big Wednesday show on Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Recently, our chaplain here, Father Hugh Barber, was talking to us about forgiveness and about that if you can't master forgiveness, then you can't master the Christian life, that's where the rubber meets the road. He didn't use the words where the rubber meets the road, but that if we can do all the wonderful things, but if we won't accept Christ's call to forgive, then we've got a block up to embracing the fullness of our Christian calling. I think he was right about that, and that's what we're going to talk about today, forgiveness. It's not an easy thing to do, and maybe not an automatic solution, or it doesn't feel like it's an automatic solution. It doesn't make our problems go away immediately and all that, but it is at the core of what Christ calls us to, and as hard as it may be to do, he also mentioned, I do believe he said something about take up your cross each day and follow. But how do we do it? So how do we get into a state where we are able to forgive? If you'd like to talk about forgiveness, if you have questions about how to forgive or need some help with a particular maybe stumbling block to your own ability to forgive, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And I slowed that second one down because I remembered who my guest is today. Our guest, we have a double guest today, Jerry and Debbie, or Debbie and Jerry. I don't know who to put first. I never know, but
it's okay, Cy. You can put me first.
Okay, Debbie and and Jerry, they are
the
hosts.
The lady wants, the lady gets.
Amen to that, brother. they host Take Two each morning, each weekday morning on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Jerry and Debbie, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us back.
One of the things you do, okay, let me just spit this out. One of the things you do on Take Two is that it's not like an apologetic show or something like that. You get into the concretes of what are happening in your own lives and in the lives of your listeners. It's a group session every day on Take Two with the two of you. So, am I reasonable in saying that maybe you, the two of you, have had some struggles yourself with forgiveness?
Oh yeah, I think that's goes without saying.
You fess up first, Debbie.
Yeah, I've had a lot of practice. I'll be honest. Let me just be very straightforward about this. I've had a lot of practice. Life circumstances has come my way to really allow me to practice this idea of really genuine forgiveness, not just this concept of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because I think the concept of it is thrown around very loosely, and it's easier said than done. That's all I'm going to say, in my experience anyway. I had a huge situation for me several years back when my marriage ended, and there was a huge betrayal of trust, and that was very hard to get over. It was very hard to forgive. It took me a lot of time, a lot of spiritual direction. And then my brother-in-law was shot and killed. And that was another huge blow to the family. And so there's these life circumstances that happen where you have to, you opt either to forgive or not to forgive. And of course, like you said, Cy, at the beginning, to be a true Christian, we have to at least explore this idea of trying to master forgiveness if we want to be forgiven ourselves. So I get that. I understand that. But in real practical terms, I believe it's a lot harder than we just state out there. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I agree. Yeah. And sometimes we want to white knuckle our way through forgiveness. And let's get one thing perfectly clear. I mean, forgiveness sometimes is not easy. Okay. It can be a process. This can be a lifelong process. What I believe is making the effort, at least in our minds, is the first step toward doing that. You know, and Debbie, you shared a couple of instances in your own personal life. And those who listen to Take Two, Cy, have heard me share on our program. I've had to work through issues like the divorce of my parents and really basically being abandoned by my father. And there were other, you know, abusive and traumatic things that I endured early in my life. And I kind of carried that all around, that way, the weight of that, you know, the guilt and the shame and kind of that, you know, you imprison yourself, you know, until you forgive somebody. You know, the Bible says, Jesus says, you know, I think it's in Matthew's gospel, you know, your heavenly Father will not forgive you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Okay.
Right.
So it's not, but that's not saying it's easy. It's not saying it's a warm, fuzzy feeling. You don't have to all of a sudden like the people who have hurt you, but it's so liberating and it's so important to our spiritual lives that we come to a place of forgiveness. So we've got to make that effort. And it's like, I always like to say, it's like a blood transfusion. It's really life-giving.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH if you prefer the spelling version of it. Jerry and Debbie are our guests, the hosts of Take Two each morning on the Eternal Word television. No, it was, yeah, EWTN Catholic
right.
Radio Network, but that was going to be confusing if I said it that way. So when your callers or when people call you about forgiveness, and you talk about this, like, because it's not always easy news. It is good news, the idea of forgiveness, but it's not always easy news. What do you think is the source of resistance to taking up what Christ command that we forgive from our heart?
Well, I'll go first, actually, because I've lived it. I think it's a control thing. You want to have a just outcome.
Yeah. That
you want to make things right. And so you're going to will it or wish it on that other person. You're thinking to yourself, what goes around comes around. I want that person to be punished or to pay for what they did to me. To me, I think that's a very normal response. But we're called, as you said earlier at the beginning of the show, or at the beginning of this hour, Sai, that we're called to a higher standard, in the sense that we're called to say, no, it's not, we're not to take control. We're not to be doing that. And I don't think there's any accident to this. I was praying about this because I knew we were going to be on the show, and I was praying about it because, quite honestly, I struggle with the concept of forgiveness, the concept. And you can maybe go into more of it, especially when the calls start coming in. But I don't believe there's any accident to this. I happened to flip on EWTN television, and this morning was Father Mitch Pacwa talking about what else? Forgiveness.
Yeah.
And he said, it's a letting go. It's an act of the will to let go.
Yeah.
And once you let go, once you detach yourself from any sort of outcome that you want for that other person or that situation, then you have that, what Jerry, I believe anyway, what Jerry's talking about is that true sense of liberation, that freedom of knowing that you don't have to be weighed down and walled off from this this hurt that you've been carrying. So it was very interesting that it happened today, because I looked up to God and I said, okay, Lord, you have a great sense of humor. Here's Father Mitch Pacwa giving the answer right here. So I don't know. I'm curious at what Jerry's thoughts are on this.
Well, I agree with you, Debbie, completely. And sometimes we think that forgiveness has to be this face-to-face, let's, you know, sit down and talk and, you know, here's what you did to me and here's what I did to you. I'm sorry. Okay, you're sorry. Okay, let's move on. But a lot of times that isn't really possible. Forgiveness can be a one-way thing. You know, it can be me forgiving somebody who hurt me, whether or not they ever know. If they know about that forgiveness, that can be a gift to them. But I would say that forgiving somebody else is first and foremost a gift to me. Because again, that we hold on to that bitterness, like you said, Debbie, that control. We want justice. Of course we want justice.
Right.
But we have the perfect example, Sai, of Jesus on the cross, okay? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We have to try to adopt that mentality. As hard as it is, again, this is not, we're not sitting here saying, oh, come on, everybody, get it together. You know, forgiving somebody is easy. But what we're pointing to is doing the hard work is worth it, because you are set free to literally just soar spiritually and mentally and emotionally and psychologically. So that's, I think, what we're trying to get at here.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is the morning show on EWTN. We have both of the hosts here with us, and we're talking about forgiveness today. Calls already lining up. We are going to get to the calls when we come back after our break. The number 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more Jerry and Debbie on forgiveness on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live. Do you enjoy tedious lectures full of facts you'll never use? We didn't think so. That's why we're launching the Council of Trent, Trent Horn's engaging new podcast. Every week, you'll get lively lessons in Catholic teaching, as well as a new conversation roadmap that will help you share your Catholic faith with anyone, anytime, anywhere. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com now to find out how you can subscribe to this exciting new podcast.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous period in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform Yourself is a great place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Forgiveness is our topic this hour, and it's a tough topic when we're, especially when we're not just talking about it in theological terms, but in practical terms. What is it that God is asking of us when He is telling us to forgive our neighbor from our heart? And even more important, perhaps, how do we go about doing that? We have some wonderful guests, Jerry and Debbie from Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And I said each morning on EWTN, and it is here, but I guess it's noon on the East Coast. So Eastern time, it's noon or midnight, and then an hour behind and an hour behind until it's at 9 in the morning for us here in California.
It's 6 a.m. in Hawaii, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, so you can wake up with Take Two with Jerry and
That's
Debbie
right.
in Hawaii. Yeah. 888-318-7884 is the number. A whole bunch of calls, Jerry and Debbie. You all feel ready to take calls?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
All right. Let's go to Joseph in Kenora, Ontario. Joseph, you are on with Jerry and Debbie. Your question, please.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Joseph.
Yes. You're talking about forgiveness, and I'm glad you brought up that subject, because I have a good answer for you.
Okay.
I read it in a Catholic Church in a pamphlet about probably 20 years ago. It said, in order to forgive, forgiveness is to conquer evil. The only way to conquer evil is through forgiveness.
I wonder what Jerry and Debbie think of that. That's an extraordinary claim there, but the way to conquer evil is forgiveness.
Yeah. Jerry?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of ways to conquer evil. Love would be one way. Love, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. Love conquers evil. Yeah, but I mentioned earlier, Cy, that, you know, we have the example of Jesus on the cross. Yeah, forgiveness conquers evil. What did Jesus do on the cross? He conquered all evil from the beginning of human history until He returns again in glory. And so, yeah, He conquered all evil, and He gave forgiveness even to His executioners. So, Joseph, I think you're Spirit, you're touching on something very, very important here. And Debbie, we talk about this on the show. We talked the other day about the power of humility, and now we can talk about the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness has this intrinsic power that we don't even sometimes realize to unleash graces in our lives and the lives of others. So, yeah, Debbie, I think Joseph's really onto something here.
I would agree with that, Joseph, because as you were talking, Joseph, and then Jerry responded, I was thinking about when I had an unforgiving heart. And I will tell you, I did not have holy thoughts. So, what's the opposite of holy? I mean, it's definitely not, it's definitely of the dark side. So I can tell you that right now. I was holding on to bitterness and anger and resentment and you name it, all the things that was, we could probably put in that, you could probably put in the evil category. So I would say that there's a lot of merit to what you're saying, Joseph, because once I let go and once I freed myself from the attachment to that, I started to have a much better disposition towards holiness. Towards holiness. I'm not there yet, but towards holiness. So I think I would agree with that, Joseph.
Joseph, thanks very much for that call. It makes a great deal of sense, doesn't it? Because the thing, a lack of forgiveness is a kind of enslavement. It's kind of it binds us, and now then we're stuck. We cannot move forward in so many areas. It's funny to me, too. I'll throw this out to you, Jerry and Debbie. That if you talk to a completely, totally secular, non-religious psychologist, for example, they would tell you the same thing, that a lack of forgiveness is going to just tie you up in knots and make it impossible for you to move forward. You have to do what you talked about earlier, Debbie. You have to let go.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it was Father Mitch Pacwa, but yes, you have to let go. And the thing about it, too, is that it's not, I think sometimes we mix the two words for forgiveness and forgetting, because it's very hard to forget what has happened to us, especially if it's hurt us to the core of our very being.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. And I don't think that's necessarily, it has to be married, those two words. I think you can forgive and just not be truly tied into the outcome. And that is what I think is the freeing part of it. I don't know, Jerry, maybe you might disagree with me on that, but I that's what I'm thinking anyway. What do you think about the forgetting part?
No, I agree. In fact, I would say, I would even go so far as to say there may be some benefit in not forgetting simply for this reason, not to hold on to it, not to be resentful, but so that maybe you can be a little bit guarded. I mean, if you opened yourself up, or if somebody, you know, wounded you or hurt you in some way, you know, remembering that, again, not to harbor the resentment or the hatred or the dislike or anything, but just to kind of be, I'd say, wise, you know, to grow in wisdom and prudence. So, yeah, I mean, the human memory may never forget, but forgiveness, yeah, I think is a very different thing.
Lots and lots of callers on this topic, so I'm going to keep moving forward. Maggie in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. You are on with Jerry and Debbie. Maggie, your question.
Thank you for taking my call. I've been married for 3 decades, and unfortunately I learned about 5 years or so ago that my spouse had never been faithful to me. The whole dating, engagement, everything is an addiction, and just a double life and all. But anyway, so for a long time I've worked hard at forgiveness, and I do have it. And even this Lent has been a beautiful Lent. And I have this abundant feeling of compassion and love and forgiveness for my spouse, whom I'm separated from. But my spouse has none of that towards me. My spouse hasn't really even addressed any of, like, the abuse that took place, which was, you know, covert, more or less. You know, I didn't know what was going on, but he's not really willing to address any of that. And so while I have these feelings of compassion and joy and forgiveness, and even I can now recall moments in our lives that I can see through, it's not through the lens of my discovery. You know, it's like, it's beautiful. It's a gift. It's really healing. It's hard when there's interaction and there's more that, you know, comes my way, but I manage to forgive again. And then I don't know what to do with this alongside my spouse, who just has no forgiveness for the way in which I responded to that covert abuse, but also in addition to that, the way I responded with the discovery. It's almost like it's not what I what I did to you. It's how you responded to what I did to you. And I just don't know how to hold the forgiveness, or if this is like a common thing that we have to struggle with for the rest of, you know, like, is this common? I don't know.
Debbie?
Yeah, Maggie, did you say you're separated from your spouse?
We are.
Okay. Is there a chance of reconciliation?
Well, I've prayed for a miracle, and I've waited. I don't know. I don't think so, because there's never been any acknowledgement to me. I mean, it's some of the, you know, the great deal of just awful discovery about his double life, and you know, and well, so I do have a willingness, but he doesn't have a willingness with me per se.
He's not there yet. Okay. Well, so Maggie, first of all, we're not counselors, but I've lived a long life, And I'll tell you just from my own personal experience, a couple things. You're in a good place spiritually, because you are freely giving a gift of forgiveness to him. And it doesn't sound like you're attached to any outcome, which is really great. So you're in a great spiritual place. I would continue just deepening your faith. This is just me talking just from as a sister in Christ. Okay. I would just continue being in the great place you are, and not to anticipate any outcome, because clearly from what you just told us in this snippet, he's not there yet for whatever reason. And I would very much get devoted, and I'm sure you're doing this, into prayer. Maybe pray the Lady Undoer of Knots, and to maybe help him undo the knots in his life so he can see things more clearly. But you know, I would just really pray for him to come to a realization, because then there's this possibility that there maybe could be a reconciliation or something of that nature. And I think so, but you not being attached to the outcome puts you in a good spiritual place. I would also recommend too, if you haven't done it already, go visit Rose Sweet, is her website, rosesweet.com. She has great resources for folks that are really trying to, you know, hold on to their marriages and keep their marriages going strong. And I think there's a lot of healing in that. And so I don't know if that helps what I'm saying, but I think you're in a good place. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, Maggie, I have a couple thoughts, but Maggie, what do you think about what Debbie was sharing?
I very, you know, happy to hear that reply. I am devoted to my faith, and, but I always was in our marriage, and we shared that. Ironically, you know, strangely enough, we shared that despite the duplicity. But what do I want to say, Jerry? I'm sorry, I just got distracted for a moment there. So I do, you know, have hope, and I do believe that, you know, if his heart can be transformed, that maybe there is, you know, there's the possibility for us to be reconciled. But I think my question, and I do know the other website you referred to, but I don't find that as helpful as many other resources that have come my way. But having said that, I just wanted to say, I'm not, like, what I want to make sure of is, do we human beings struggle with sustainable forgiveness when we're being bombarded again and again? Like, I mean, this separation that we have is not necessarily pleasant. I mean, when there's interaction, it's very tough on me, you know, and I do choose to forgive again, and I work to, you know, work through it, but there's just never any reciprocity. And I just, is it normal that I would have these experiences of like great love and compassion and acceptance, and then that, you know, like, is our forgiveness challenged, I guess is what I'm asking, Jerry? I don't know. Is that making sense?
No, your forgiveness is not challenged. What I would say, what comes to my heart, Maggie, is that God is actually, this may sound strange, I think God is giving your husband a tremendous gift through you right now. You being in, as Debbie said, this place of not, you don't have any, you know, you don't have any particular expectations of an outcome. You are, it sounds like you're detached. You have forgiven. You would love to see reconciliation. You would love to see movement on the part of your husband in his heart. That's not quite happening right now. But yet the grace that is flowing, I believe anyway, through your response and through your humility and your love and your charity and your kindness and all of that, that will not go unrewarded. And that's like water, on seeds, you know. And your husband, he knows, he in his heart. I would just say that, you know, a lot of men today have a difficult time with, commitment and remaining faithful and so forth. And he's dealing with a lot of guilt and shame, I'm sure of that. So please, I would just encourage you, stay the course, remain loving toward him. You have done the act of forgiveness. Now let the Holy Spirit do the rest. That's what I would say anyway. So I hope that's at least a little bit of help, Maggie.
Maggie, thank you very, very much for that call. We do appreciate it. Our topic this hour is forgiveness. And we're getting into some of the practicalities of forgiveness, not just on a theoretical level, but in real lives. How do we do this thing that Christ has commanded us to do and that we actually commit to do every time we pray the Our Father, every time we go to Mass, every time we reaffirm our faith that Christ is Lord, we reaffirm again that we intend to follow on that path of forgiveness, even if it is sometimes the path of carrying a very heavy cross. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Jerry and Debbie on forgiveness after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
50 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI released his encyclical Humanae Vitae, reaffirming the Catholic Church's condemnation of contraception. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue delving deep into what is arguably one of the Church's most controversial documents in modern times. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take you on an exploration of the crucial social and theological issues surrounding the encyclical and try to answer questions about the theological core of the issue of contraception, possible limits of the document's teaching, what led the Pope to issue the encyclical, and so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on the most important aspects of Paul VI's profound and prophetic document. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
And I'm having the time of my life.
Early bird pricing ends July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
You know, you get paid in heaven for the ministry that you do on here. I love your show. My life has completely changed. Through God's power and through His revelation, I've changed my stuff in my life. All my first fruits go to God, and I remain in God. I pray all the time. Your show is in my prayer.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We've got Jerry and Debbie with us from Take Two, a wonderful show on EWTN each day, including Saturdays, which I find impressive. Do you guys ever rest? Do you ever take a break or just go?
Saturday is what Dr. Ray would call the least worst of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
The least worst.
It's a recording.
Yeah.
But right. We'll be live this week, actually, where you guys are going to be. You're going to be at the L.A. Religious Head Congress, right, Si?
Yeah, we're going to go up on Friday. You're going to be there on Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do the show Friday and Saturday.
Very cool. Okay, great. I'm looking forward to seeing you then. Come by the Catholic Answers booth because it's a long walk. It's right across. Actually right next to EWTN. So make that long walk and come over.
Do you have anything free you've given out? like pens or anything?
Oh my gosh, what a couple of moochers.
Did we just say
oh
the same
my god,
thing?
The exact same moment.
Yeah. Our radio sacrament is showing.
Yeah, okay. You know what's fun is that is they do the Spanish language and English language broadcasting both at the EWTN booth from there. And it's nice to get to hear both. Yes. You know, you think about it, it's going out all over the world from that one little microphone there. It's kind of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing.
As long as you have a candy dish, that's all
I need.
Oh,
my gosh. Could we get something free for Jerry and Debbie? I don't know, some kind of candy bar or something.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can I just rewind for a second?
I guess so. I could forgive you.
Thank you. Maggie's call from Fort Wayne. I just wanted to go back because, like I said, I was watching EWTN television today and Father Mitch Pacwa was talking about what it says in Scripture, simply about how we are to respond to people who hurt us and how we are to forgive and the practical side of it. And he also said, too, that forgiveness doesn't mean we open ourselves up to be hurt again and again and again and again. We can protect ourselves. And he made that very clear. And I just wanted to say that because I think as Catholic Christians, we think we have to completely put ourselves out there and be vulnerable in every situation when we know what the outcome can be. And it could be a negative outcome. That's not the case. And so we can forgive and we can love, if you will, from a distance. We don't necessarily have to face-to-face interact if we know it's going to be a very painful experience. So I just wanted to say that because Father Mitch was very clear about that. And I thought it was good for this particular conversation.
I'm glad you said it, Debbie. It brings up something, a point that often you said sometimes people think that forgiveness means forgetting, and you were pointing out how it doesn't. You and Jerry both had comments on that. But I think people also get confused and think that forgiveness is reconciliation, that if there's no reconciliation, that means there was no forgiveness.
Right.
And that's not really the case.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, I think forgiveness, so many times, and like Jerry said it so brilliantly at the beginning, he said that sometimes when we forgive, it can be one way. It doesn't have to necessarily be this sense of like you said, reconciliation, or it has to be, I'm sorry, oh no, I'm sorry, and then, oh, all's well, we hug and kiss and move and go on. It's not like that. Lives are messy, and lives are difficult. But I think, like going back to what Father Mitch said again, that act of the will of saying, I'm done with this. I'm letting go. I'm giving it over to God.
Yeah.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
You're going to take care of everything. It's not about me anymore. It's not about me taking care of it. I think that's a really healthy position to be in.
Yeah. I think you also, I just want to point out, I think you work better with me than with Jerry. I think, what do you think about, Jerry's still there? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said
take
Jerry.
Take two
had
with
go.
Cy and Debbie.
You know, there's no way my name would go first.
Stole that thought right out of my head, Cy.
Debbie would not allow that. Anonymous in Portland, Oregon, listening. Oh, Anonymous is a smart listener. You should both know this because Anonymous is listening on the Catholic Answers app, and that is always a smart listener. Anonymous, your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. Well, it wasn't really a question. It was a comment.
Okay.
And hey, the great thing about the Catholic app is that you don't have to remember all the numbers. You just push the little, tap on your phone where it says call live.
Can you just hang on after the show and do a commercial for us? That was perfect. I loved that, Anonymous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I was raised in an extremely dysfunctional home and experienced, sexual abuse from my father and my brother. And then in my 50s, had a profound conversion and came into the Catholic Church. And as I was doing so, my confirmation sponsor was just so wonderful. I was struggling with forgiving the abuse. And her advice to me was so profound. She said, I want you every day to, kneel by your bed and pray. Ask God to forgive those who did those things to you, and then ask God to help you forgive those persons who did those things to you. And I was very committed, so every day I would get up and kneel by my bed and pray those prayers. And in about 2 months, the lightness of my heart, that it can only be forgiveness, the profound hurt simply was healed, and it's gone now. And I pray I pray for the souls of those persons. My father's passed on, so I'm not able to see him. The other person is not safe for me to be around because there's no repentance. In fact, there's even some, well, I'll leave that alone. But at any rate, I just wanted to share that because it might help other people who are struggling with forgiveness. Going to God and asking him to help really made a big difference in my life.
Mm. Well, Anonymous, let me comment just for a minute here, because I've done some looking into this, and I've talked to people who have experienced the same sort of thing. And Debbie will echo this. One thing I talk about on our show all the time, no matter what the trauma or the wound or whatever it is reframing. We need kind of edit the movie that's in our minds. And I have found in my experience, you know, in talking with people about this, is it something like, you know, sexual abuse, for example? By the way, how old were you? Can you recall?
I was a toddler when my father was sexually abusing me.
Okay. See, the thing about that is, and this is really gonna, this is a profound insight for me, and that is, when we're very, very young, I mean, we obviously look up to not only our parents, but our elders, and in your case, it was your parent, and I think you said an older brother. And as a toddler, you know, you look to them, and they can do no wrong. Okay, so no matter what they do, even if it's insidious like this, they weren't wrong. You were wrong. You did the wrong thing. Okay, but you didn't. And see, you have to reframe that, and this can take a lifetime to achieve, but I believe it's very, very worth the effort. So I would say to anybody who has been through any kind of abuse, especially at a young age, go back. And here's the interesting thing, the insight that came to me. As a child, if you're abused in that way, you not only did not do something wrong, in a certain sense, you did the right thing. What do I mean by that? We are taught to obey our elders, our parents especially, but even those who are not our parents, but who are older than we are, who represent authority figures and so forth. So in a sense, you probably, you know, you were coerced into that situation. And as a child, we don't know. We're not mature enough, wise enough, whatever, to say, to kind of work through the process in our minds, put the puzzle pieces together and say, wait a minute, I shouldn't consent to this. I shouldn't do this. No, all we know is, well, this is my elder and they're asking me to do this. So of course, out of obedience, I'm going to do this. And that can stay with us for a long time. So we have to, like I said, we have to go back and edit that movie and reframe the whole thing. And when we do that, then we are freed up to forgive them. And in forgiving them, actually, a person can actually learn to love their abuser in a situation like that and pray for their soul like you are doing, Anonymous. So anyway, I am hogging Debbie here. You might have some thoughts on this, but it's just been kind of a beautiful learning process for me to look into this and to hear from people and talk to people who have been through this.
I've heard you explain this before, Jerry, and I have to tell you, I think it's an interesting way to look at things, and I can see what you're saying is that it totally frees you up. I'd be curious to see what this wonderful lady in Portland has to say about what you said.
Well, I think that's what decades of counseling helped me do. Mm. And of course, I had rejected God completely and lived as an atheist for decades. But the counseling helped me get to what you're talking about, the reframing. Mm. And then when I was ready, God gave me grace to have a profound conversion to Jesus Christ and then into the Catholic Church. But I just think the heart of my healing, the spiritual, I'm not quite sure how to put this. Of course, it did take the counseling,
yes,
but it also took that submission of praying and really knowing that God, you know, I suppose God could hold those persons guilty, right? But the prayer was that God would forgive them, and something about that did release love inside of me. Mm-hmm. And then asking God to help me forgive was like I was acknowledging that I wasn't strong enough. I was too little. I couldn't do it. And that prayer, God gave gave grace again. You know, God gave more grace.
It's striking. Anonymous, I don't know if you're aware of this, but what you're describing is the truest kind of story of Christian conversion, one that takes seriously God's role in our lives and responds quietly and docilely. And you were given a direction that many people would say, no, don't forgive. Don't, you know, the world would say, no, don't pray for them. But what you, by accepting that extraordinary advice from the person who was preparing you for your catechism or for your confirmation, and then doing exactly what Christ calls us to do, pray for our enemies, pray for those who persecute you, you discovered the freedom of the gospel. That's what you discovered, and there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it to replace the joy of discovering the freedom of the gospel. How do you respond to that?
Well, praise God. And,
amen.
You know, blessed be the name of the Lord.
That's right. Well, we'll leave it on there. We got to take a break. Anonymous, God bless you. Thank you so much for that call. And pray, what can we do but praise God? We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. Sayings like these are such a part of tradition that we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers, even though nobody can seem to place their origin. By sheer repetition, they have acquired a halo of truth. In What the Saints Never Said, Trent Horn takes over 40 of these well-known but actual dubious sayings and attempts to track them to their true source. The result? He finds some that are close to what was really said, many that were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few that were just plain made up. By setting the record straight, Trent roots out theological errors that can lead us away from Christian truth and offers authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to that truth. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Just two of the best people in Catholic radio are our guests today, Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani, with two N's. Don't forget the two N's. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about the great struggle of forgiveness. Wonderful callers today. Thank you so much to all those callers. We go now to Elizabeth in Indiana, listening on Catholic Radio Indy. How cool. Elizabeth, you are on with Jerry and Debbie.
Hello, Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Santal Retreat.
Oh, great.
Hi.
Great. Good to hear from you.
Elizabeth was on our Santal Retreat we just had in February in Coleman, Alabama. So it was fabulous. Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling in. Go ahead.
Beautiful. Thank you. Oh, sorry. I just wanted to share a little bit about my forgiveness journey. In 1981, I had an abortion, and I suffered for 10 years. before I saw forgiveness from God in confession. I know he forgave me right away. I was repentant, but I didn't seek him formally until I went to confession, and that was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm so glad I did it. Then after a while, I decided that I needed to write to the dad and ask and tell him that I forgave him and ask him to forgive me. And then God took me on another little journey. I was a sidewalk counselor outside of the abortion clinics and had a chance to speak with the doctor who performed my abortion 25 years earlier. And at first I was very angry with him and told him, you know, he was a bully and didn't take good care of his patients. And then I forgave him and told him that I forgave him. And then God showed me, hey, you need to ask him for forgiveness. And so I spoke that to him across the parking lot as I did every week. I got the chance to talk to him for like 10 seconds as he walked into the building, and he didn't ever acknowledge it, but I know he heard me. And that was so freeing for me, and I'm so grateful to God for taking me on that journey.
Well, Elizabeth, wow, as you were talking, I'm thinking you had all these freeing encounters. And when you talk about the sacrament of reconciliation, obviously, and then you went to confession, you had all the graces that came from that. And then not only that, but you went to the people that were part of it and hurt you. And you went to them to have some kind of freeing experience. And that's what it did with this act of forgiveness, this act of your will, of saying, you know what, I forgive you. So it brought you that huge amount of closure in addition to the freedom that you experienced. And I think that is, I just commend you for going the extra mile, because I think sometimes, I know in my own life, I've made those first initial steps in going in the right direction, but I didn't go all the way. And maybe it's out of fear, but you went that extra mile, and it seems like you're in a beautiful spiritual place.
Oh, thank you.
No, well, thank you very much for that call. We greatly appreciate it. I'm starting to really become a convicted of the power of forgiveness. We're hearing these callers. It's just amazing and beautiful to hear them. Elizabeth, again, thank you so much for that call. Let's go to Tom in Indiana watching on YouTube. Tom, thanks for watching on YouTube. Your question or comment for Jerry and Debbie.
Yeah. I was wondering about love and praying for those that despitefully used you, because I think it's both a test and sort of a way of knowing that you've forgiven.
Right.
You know, if you could actually say that you love that person, if you've prayed for that person, because it's easy just to say, yes, I forgive them. And the minute you walk off, you're going, nah, rah, rah.
That's how I do it. Okay. Do you know me, Tom? Because that's how I handle it. What do you all make of that, what Tom just said?
I think we were talking about this early in the show, Si. I mean, it doesn't mean we have to like people. You know, you don't have to, you know, you can muster up the forgiveness. You can work up the will to forgive somebody. And it doesn't mean you have to start, you know, having coffee with them or anything like that. And so I think there's a difference between, you know, forgiveness and, welcoming somebody into your life. But love, yeah, we do have to love somebody. You know, in Matthew 5:44, you know, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. And right to his point, pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Okay, Jesus, you know, he's laying it on thick here. You know, he's really trying, you know, like in John 6 when he hammers home the Eucharist, you know, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. You know, he just repeatedly says the same thing. Here in Matthew 5:44, he's doing the very same thing. So, yeah, I think Tom is onto something here. You know, we have to forgive, but also we have to love. Okay, but love, Debbie, love is not the same as like, right? I mean, we've done a show on this before. You know, we have to love in Christian love and Christian charity, right. But that doesn't mean you have to like and want to spend time with those who have hurt you.
Very true. Very true. And I just want to add something, Tom, because we've heard it said that, and we've talked about this before on Take Two all the time. So, Tom, practice, you've heard of the old saying, practice makes perfect, right? But reframe it, okay? Practice makes permanent. You have to practice, just like that beautiful, strong lady, that anonymous caller from Portland, Oregon, who is practicing in her prayers to ask God to forgive those who hurt her. She was practicing that over and over and over again. And did you hear how beautifully she said it? She said all of a sudden she felt this lightness of heart. Because practice makes permanent. We've got to practice things. I think sometimes in this world we hold on to all the bitterness and resentment, and it becomes part of us, part of our identity. And it's not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. I can be the first one to tell you it did not do anything for my being. It ruined my personality. But when I when I let go and I let God and I said, Jesus, I trust in you, and I practiced praying for my enemies, if you will, that hurt me, all of a sudden I felt that same lightness too that beautiful lady in Portland was talking about. So I think we have to practice at it. It's not a quick, easy thing to do, Tom. What do you think?
And I think that we misunderstand what love is. Love is wishing the good of the other. It doesn't mean you have to go, oh, we're buddy-buddy now.
Yeah.
Or come to Thanksgiving dinner. But it's to wish the good for the other when they're good.
Right, and that's an act of will. It's not an act of the emotions. And I think sometimes we really, and the emotions do follow. It's not that willing the good is just this, you know, despite all your emotions, but it is an act of will to forgive. And that act of will has consequences that then radiate out and out and out. Jerry, did you want to?
No, I really can't add to anything more that you just said, Si, and that Debbie said as well. You know, I think, the key is, like you say, you know, love is an act of the will. And it doesn't have to be, like we said earlier in the show, it doesn't have to feel good. You know, you don't have to lay your head on the pillow at night going, gosh, I just have this warm, fuzzy feeling that I just forgave everybody today. But we have to, intentionally and, you know, purposely, I guess that's redundant, but just go into prayer and say, Heavenly Father, I really do want to forgive this person, and I love them. And like you said, Si, I will the good for them. Because let's face it, everybody is going to spend eternity somewhere. As the founder of Catholic Answers was always fond of saying, you're going to take the up escalator or the down escalator. Mm-hmm. We want people to take the up escalator, no matter what they've done. It doesn't matter. One soul lost is too many. So we need to pray for everybody, no matter what they've done to us.
Let's see if we can squeeze one more call in before we go. I'm sorry, I have to go quickly. Rob in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Can you give us your thoughts quickly so Jerry and Debbie will have a minute to respond?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. You had mentioned earlier that if I'm wronged and it doesn't, I may not necessarily get the opportunity to speak with them, and that's not necessarily required either to forgive them. My question is, if God forgives us as we forgive others, does that transfer to me too? I mean, say there's sins that I've forgotten and didn't seek forgiveness from or that. I mean, I know there's a lot of different angles there, but how would that transform God's forgiveness?
So if you're saying we could forgive people and we without them asking for it or without them knowing it, can God forgive us even though we don't ask for it or don't know it?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, I would just say God forgives us every single day. I mean, just he's a merciful God. But yeah. The thing about it is, Rob, that I would definitely, you sound like you have some things that possibly are maybe restless inside of you. I would really go and sit down with a priest and make a really good confession and allow yourself to be freed of those things that possibly you have forgotten over the past or something like that. I think you deserve that because it's very, very liberating to be able to kind of just free yourself of all of the past. What do you think, Jer?
Well, Rob, in the Our Father, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I think there's two ways we can interpret that. One, just like we forgive others, as if we automatically do, or to the degree that we forgive others who trespass against us. So I would go with the latter myself. It's to the point that we forgive others, and then, you know, forgiveness just flows freely like a fountain into our lives. So thanks, Rob.
Thank you very much, Rob. Thanks to all of our callers today. Thank you, Jerry and Debbie. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Si. The whole Kathy Answers Live team, we appreciate it.
Oh, and that's the same way we feel about the whole EWTN team. So there. And we'll all be together on Friday up at the Religious Ed Conference. Come by and see us at the EWTN booth or the Catholic Answers booth. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.